Testing, Alex. This is on. Brilliant. You're going to put the rostrum mic up for me. Good morning. Great to see you all this morning. About 2 weeks ago, I jumped out of an aeroplane at 13,000 feet. I don't know which is more terrifying, being there or being here this morning. Following on from last week, you know, we're continuing our exploration of the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus taught to us. And, you know, Martin talked about serving two masters. And this is what happens when we turn our eyes away from Jesus, isn't it? When we start to look at everything else but Jesus. And that is why the song, Turn Your Eyes to Jesus, this morning was so important and so resonated with me when I was preparing for this morning. So what keeps you awake at night? What's kept you awake at 3 o'clock this morning? What were you worried about this morning? You know, these are the things that we grasp with, we grapple with. There are worries in the world, you know. You might be worried this morning about your health, about your family, about your kids. I know we've been worrying about our child. Brandon doesn't want to be called a child anymore. He reminded us he's an adult the other day. Said, not while he lives in my house. But we do. We get worried. Things start to spin into our mind. And now we want to turn back to what Jesus taught us. You know, Jesus felt so strongly about what worry would do to our life and our health that he took time out in the Sermon on the Mount to talk about worry. So let's turn to our scripture this morning. I think it's going to come up. There we go. Did I get it? Okay, there we go. Scripture says, do not worry. Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. And let's read the scriptures. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's just pray before we go on. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you just know exactly what we need. And Father, 2,000 years ago when you were preaching, you knew what worry and anxiety would impact in our lives, Father. And you sat there and you said, and you taught us what we need to be doing, Father, what we need to bring into our lives so that we don't let that take over. Father, I just pray this morning, Father, that you will just forgive me for all my sins this morning, that you will help me to overcome the burdens that I face on a daily basis, and that my eyes will always turn to look at you. Father, and I pray that for everyone here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what kept you awake last night? You know, like I said, some of you will have health problems. Some of you might be worrying about the money problems. I know the UK is talking about a recession, and that's going to get even worse. So we're going to face more anxiety, more worry in our life. See, when you worry, your mind starts to spin. I mean, if you go back to, what Jesus says, the flowers in the field, they don't labor or spin. I don't know about you, but when I worry, your mind just goes whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And all you do is you take something small and you just kind of make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And when you're spinning, you know, when you're spinning, you're just like going around like this in circles and you're like, oh, this is, I wish this person would do this. I wish this person would do that. And you come back and you start face forward. What's the one thing we know about spinning in a circle? Makes you dizzy, but it also, what does it do? It brings you back to the same spot. And it actually makes you dizzy. You get disorientated. When you get disorientated, your mind becomes fuzzy, your sight becomes fuzzy. I mean, you know the game, you go around like this, and what happens? You're like, oh my God, you can't barely see anything. Everything's out of focus. And when you're out of focus, what happens? You stop seeing God. You stop. You don't look at God. You turn your eyes away from Jesus, and you focus on your problem rather than focus on our Heavenly Father. Now, that happens often to me, more often than I would like to actually admit. And it makes you feel small. It makes you feel like a failure. It makes you feel, I am not worthy. I can't go back to God and ask Him to forgive me because I've done this before and I've gone back again and asked Him, and I keep doing that. He's not going to listen to me. But what I'd like to do is take an example from the Bible this morning. Oh, I'm jumping ahead, actually. Yeah, so you know, we talked about spinning and being dizzy. And you've all heard it said before, Christians are some of the most unhappiest people you've ever come across. Am I right? You look, come across a Christian and you think, their face, they drag their face on the ground, their lips are there, and you think, why aren't you happy? You know, we know what's in the Bible. You know, Sue prayed this morning about, you know, we are all people in Bible. You know, we know the Bible. We know the scriptures. We know God loves us. But yet we can all be so miserable. Now, today our topic is quite challenging. And without a doubt, every one of us has actually failed in this, in trying to implement what Jesus asked us to do on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, what does Jesus say about worry in that sermon? You know, in verse 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? I think Jesus is saying, worrying is being unreasonable. You're being unreasonable when you worry. You know, I'm telling you not to worry about the clothes. Is your life, your spiritual life, your health of your body not more important? But you're worrying about your clothes, which is the materialistic things in life. So being worried, when you worry, it's unreasonable. When you spin about things in your mind, there's a centrifugal thing that, you know, when you spin something, it starts to grow bigger and bigger. And that's exactly what happens when you worry and when you just obsess about it. Do you think God made us to worry? No, He didn't. You know, of all the things that God created in the animal kingdom, humans are the only things that worry. We were not born or programmed to worry. The birds don't worry. I don't know of any pet that worries. I mean, if you look at my dog, he has absolutely no worry in the world. He's always sleeping, but he expects to be fed and he expects to be let out. Why do we worry? You know, in Proverbs 12:25, it says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. And I think many of you might have felt those anxiousness weighing you down in the middle of the night. I know I have. There are times I feel the weight on my chest, and it's just kind of like just holds you in the bed. I don't know if you've ever experienced, but I remember a few times getting up and not being able to move, but feeling that weight on your chest. It comes from worrying unnecessarily. And Jesus tells you it's unreasonable. It's not natural. And then conversely, you look at Proverbs 14:35. It says, a heart of peace gives life to a body. If we don't have worry, we focus on God and have our peace, we give life to our body. Verse 27, can any one of you worrying add a single hour to your life? What do you think Jesus is saying there? Worrying is unhelpful. Because when you worry, can you add an hour to your life? If anything, it's taking an hour away from your life. Because it's making you more ill. It's exacerbating any of the illnesses you have. You worry and you worry and you worry. I've just shown, it's not going anywhere. You're spinning in that circle. You're not helping yourself. Jesus is saying to you, sometimes Jesus hides things in stories and parables, but I think this is a clear message to you. Worrying isn't going to add an hour into your life. It is not helpful. If you obsess over something you can't control, do you think your obsessing over it is actually influencing the outcome of it? It's not. It is not. It is not influencing the outcome. It's not changing anything. What worry does is it robs you of your strength for today. And if I can get this to work. Alex, do you want to try and move that forward for me? I think something's happened. Corrie ten Boom so aptly puts it. And let's just read her words this morning. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. You know, worrying is another thief of joy. It robs you of being able to focus on today. It takes away your strength. It drains you. It physically, mentally drains you. And you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. And so aptly put, you're carrying tomorrow's burdens today. And today is enough to worry about. What else does Jesus say about worrying? He's saying it's unnecessary. You know, he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? He's saying it's unnecessary. Why are you worried about what's going to happen to you today? What's going to happen to you tomorrow? He's saying God clothes the grass before it gets thrown into the fire. And if he's doing that, how much more valuable are you to God? Would you ever let down your children? No, you will not. Why do we think God, we are the children of God, why do you think that he will ever let us down? Jesus says, when he says you have little faith, I think what he's saying is, I want you to trust me so much. I want you to trust me so much that you will have nothing to worry about. Can you trust me so much that you will have nothing to worry about? Now, with all these promises from the Bible, like I was saying, you know, you might feel a little bit unworthy because we let God down so many times. We know the word. We know the promises of God. But still, sometimes we get caught in that cycle of worrying and of anxiety, and we take our eyes off Jesus. But I'd like to take you through to the First Testament and give an example of somebody who, despite all that he witnessed God doing, I mean, God stood at his side. He saw God's promises. God spoke to him. God's power was visible to him. And I'm talking about Elijah. Now, Elijah stood in front of 850 false prophets, prophets of Baal and things like that. And he fought them down with God by his side. Right? Yet when Ahab and Jezebel got so angry about this, wanted to kill him, he turned and he ran. He stood, fought 850 people, two people didn't want to kill him. He turns his back and he runs. So let's just go to the scripture, Alex, and just read 1 Kings 19:34 for a second. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Now, don't you find that ironic? He's escaping Jezebel and them who want to kill him. He goes to the bush and says, kill me. I want to die. Right? I mean, and that's again, that's what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus. But here's what gets me is the next verse 11. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. You see, Elijah took his eyes off God. He knew God. I mean, he was in the presence of God. He knew God's miracles. He took his eyes off God. And what Jesus and God says to him, go and stand on the mountain. I'm about to pass by. What he's saying, forget about your problems. Look at me. I'm about to come past you. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. You see, God is not in the loud sounds. He's not in the big worries, in the banging of this world. He's not in the clashing of the cymbals. He's not in all those mega things that scream out in the world. He doesn't bellow at us, but he wants to communicate to us. And did you notice with Elijah? It came in a gentle whisper. And that's when Elijah got up and walked out of the cave to listen to God. What happens when somebody whispers to you? They've got to be close to you, don't they? They've got to whisper in your ear. And God is saying, I am near you. Concentrate on me and listen to me. If you stop and stop everything, stop all the big noise, and listen for me, you will hear me. I'm in the gentle whispers. And that's deliberate because God wants you to stop spinning, stop worrying, stop ruminating, stop obsessing, but listen to me. You know, the last few months have been extremely, extremely challenging for me at work. We've been through the pandemic, and I thought that was hard. We've come out of the pandemic a little bit. It hasn't really stopped for us. You know, we've had to take still so many precautions at work. And at times I've come home sort of exhausted, irritated, you know, and just lamenting about all the things that go wrong. Just wondering, why do people do so many silly things? You know, I've sat late at night. I tell you what, I've become Alan Sugar so often late at night, going, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. And I just wish, you know, it just obsesses in my mind, you know, obsesses in my mind. On Monday morning, I think it was, had a little bit of an emergency call from our guys in Swindon. So skipped breakfast, got in the car, and just drove to Swindon. And Jen, I've got a wise wife, if you haven't figured it out, you probably think where all the wisdom comes from, it comes from her, by the way. Sent me this message on WhatsApp, and it says, those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hands in everything. And you know, before I just left the car, I picked up my phone to see what other messages I was getting, and I saw that, and I stopped, and I prayed in the car. It was a timely slap on the wrist for me, because when I get caught up in things that at work, I don't turn them over to God. I don't. And I don't know why. I should know better. Suppose I'm a leader for the church. I shouldn't be saying that. But I should know better. You know, and Jen's reminder of that was just a time to remind of that. But I also marveled at that very truth. You know, when Jesus says, God knows what you need. Now, this preaching series, I was put on the rota quite a while back, and we had no clue what the series was going to be about, and I didn't know what my message was going to be about until Martin emailed me about the 25th of April. But you know, it came at such a time when I was so stressed, so anxious about everything at work, worried about everything, and the message was, do not worry. That's what you're speaking about. It was as if God knew, Mason, I know what you need. So I'm going to tell you, you need to go and research what I said about don't worry. Do not worry. Because only when you come from a place of understanding it can you speak it with any authority. Amen? Can I get an amen? Is anyone out there this morning? It is. You are. Good. You know, it made me feel silly. Because God says, if I'm feeding the birds and I'm clothing the birds, why are you worried? Do you think you're any less to me than the birds and the bees? No. Why have you not sought me out? See, God's plan is for you to overcome. You know, we sang there about being overcomers, about being conquerors. God's plan for you is not to worry. Yes, worrying is part and parcel of life, but we don't need to succumb to it. So Elijah showed us how even people of faith can forget and turn away from God. Somebody who is so steadfast in his faith is also in the Bible. And I'm talking about our good friend Paul. He was in Rome, in prison, shackled, fearing for his life. Don't know whether they were going to execute him the next day. But he penned Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. I mean, can you imagine this guy, chains in his hands, being locked up, and he's writing this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And can you see him with the chains, pulling the chains? Exclamation mark, rejoice. I've got chains, he's in chains, but he's telling you to rejoice. He's got the worry. He doesn't know whether he's going to be alive the next day. But he's telling you, rejoice, and exclamation mark. He's repeating it for you. Yet we sit at home, we've got clothes on our backs, we've got water running in our taps, we've got lights that we switch on, and we worry. And we worry. Let your gentleness be evident to all, he says. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. In some verses, versions it says, be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine having the peace that transcends all understanding filling you? You know, that's why, you know, I know we can't be baptized every time. I love being baptized. I loved being baptized. Because on that day, there was a peace that just came over me that I just was just incredible, trying to hold on to that feeling. When you get to know God and He fills your heart, there is that peace that just sits in you, that just fills you up. And yet we let worry take that over. When worry comes to you, the last thing you want to do is rejoice. The last thing you feel like doing is rejoicing. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, I've been thinking about why do we let worry get to us? You know, what we do is we run ourselves ragged. We go into that spin. We don't take time to sit back and hear God and go into His Word and try to figure out what God is saying. And just to focus on God rather than the problem. Because again, when we sang, turn your eyes into Jesus, when you turn your eyes into Jesus, the things of the world become strangely dim. You know, the majority of the things that we worry about don't happen. Or when they do happen, it's not as big as we make it out to be. Or when we do go through it, it was not as bad as we thought it was going to be. So all that time you spend worrying was just for no reason whatsoever. Now, I don't want to take away from the problems that you're facing. Some of you have got some major problems, and some of you might be dealing with those problems through medical help. You still got to do and continue with the medical help. But what you need to know today, the message for you today, is you're not going through it alone. God is with you. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. God says, when you are at your weakest, that's when you are at your strongest. Because that's when I come in and give you my strength to carry you through this. You know, the other thing we do is we alienate ourselves. Like Elijah, he left his servant. And he ran away into the wilderness. We don't want to talk to people about what's worrying us. We want to hold on to that burden in our own. We're ashamed sometimes to say we are struggling with it. But again, that's where you need to confide in somebody. Seek help. We also tend to focus on the negatives when we're worrying. I am not worthy enough. I am not good enough. That's the devil giving you these little thoughts and saying, you can't overcome this. This is far too big for you. You don't feel worthy enough to get through. But Jesus makes us worthy. And finally, our biggest mistake is that we forget to seek God. You know, Jesus says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom. And we sang that today. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all of these things will be given to you. What are all of these things? God knows the things that you need. God knew I needed to fix my eyes on him and to stop worrying. And he said to me, here, that's what you need to speak on. Go and see what I'm saying about it so that you can speak on it. You know, somebody else, where's Swiss Ken? Ken's disappeared. Talked about Peter. He was somebody else who let God down, Jesus down so many times. Right? He was human. I love Peter because he was a crazy little guy that I like. He tells Jesus, let me walk on water. I mean, who has the faith to say to Jesus, let me walk on water? But he did. And he stepped out of the boat and Jesus said, walk. And he did. He walked a few steps. Eyes on Jesus. The winds come, the little waves come, and what does he do? He focuses on the wind and the waves and he starts to sink. Takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts to sink. That's what happens to us. When we take our eyes off Jesus, what happens? All those thoughts invade our minds and we forget about Jesus. We start to drown in our problems. We start to drown in our worry. But again, Paul, despite the many times that he was going to let Jesus down, says, God, help me. And the scripture says, immediately, that's the word that gets me, immediately Jesus reached out for him. It didn't matter how many times Paul was going to let him down. Peter was going to let Jesus down. Remember, he was going to deny Jesus three times later on. Jesus knew that, but Jesus immediately put his hand down. Jesus didn't stand there and say, first, why did you not look at me? Why did you take a... No, he reached down immediately. So how much more will God do that for you? Even though we are weak, we can sometimes let God down so many times. You know, it's easy for me to stand here this morning and say, lead a carefree life. Secure in the knowledge of God's promises. But in the moment, in that situation, our grief, our anxiety can take over us. But Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God and you will overcome your worries. God's got your back. God has got your back. So Jesus in John 17 says, Father, I have given them the glory that you have given to me. You have got the glory of God in you. Martin last week talked about the Holy Spirit, Jesus sending the counselor to us. You've got the glory of God. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the strength of God in you. You have the strength to become overcomers. You know, put everything in God's hands and you will see God's hands in everything. So finally, you know, hear me and just take this away from me today. God is already working on whatever it is that you are worried about. God's already working on whatever it is that you are worried about. You know, Ken said something great. If we become so good warriors, we could become meditators. Meditate on God's word instead of worrying. God says, you do what you can do and I will do whatever you cannot do. All he wants is your worship and your faith. While you're worrying, just remember, God is working. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. Let's just pray in closing. And we're just going to sing the last verse of Turn Your Eyes Onto Jesus as we close. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for your words of encouragement. Father, your word is so true, is so good. And we just are so sorry, Father. Just forgive us for those times that we just turn our eyes away from you and that we forget that you are in the midst of everything. It's because we put our worries in front, Father, that we lose sight of you. And just help us, Jesus, to continuously to move the worries to the side so that we can focus on you. Father, I pray for everyone here today who has worries and anxieties that are overwhelming them, that your words would have encouraged them today and just make them believe that they are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's join in the chorus, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let's sing it through twice.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth shall go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's just two questions for us to sort of go back into our groups after coffee and for you to just think about. You know, what is it that makes us turn away from Jesus in our worries and in our anxieties? And something to then think about is, what are you going to change today in your life to stop that happening? You know, to stop anxiety and worrying take over your lives. So thank you very much. Have your coffee breaks and then break into your groups and have a discussion about those two.
Thank you so much.